Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
All right, so let's keep this ball rolling here. We've been talking about residential lending. We've been talking about property lending. And for, you know, really, these are situations where sometimes your best thing you can do is call an expert and find out what your options are and see if they can help you. So thanks very much to our last two guests. Our last guest today is Josh Brown from the law office of Josh F. Brown, who also has his firm is called Franchise Euphoria. I love that phrase. And Josh is joining us as a practicing franchise attorney who's built a legal practice around helping entrepreneurs build businesses that scale and grow. And he loves helping entrepreneurs, business owners, franchisees, and franchisors build profitable businesses that reflect the owner's vision and provide value to customers. So he speaks, blogs, writes articles, and is the creator and host of Franchise Euphoria, which is a top-rated podcast on iTunes. It's a great listen. And Josh has been recognized as a rising star in the Indiana legal community, and most recently a franchise legal eagle by the Franchise Times. So Josh has been with us before. You can find his interview on the Exit Coach Audio Library. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Glad to be here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you. It's great that we're talking because I just covered a week or so ago the West Coast Franchise Expo, and it's amazing the number of businesses that have turned themselves into franchises, and you probably did them all, didn't you?
I wish.
But, you know, it's a lot of people that listen to the show want to know about their exit strategies, and a lot of them don't think about, well, if I have a well-run business, is there a way, is there an exit strategy to build it into a franchisable business? And tell us a little bit more about your practice and how you got started in this particular niche.
Yeah, sure. So I've been practicing for a little under 9 years now, and about 4 years into practicing, I decided insurance defense work was not for me, and just didn't really enjoy it. But what I did enjoy was working with small business owners. And, you know, but for 5 years before I went to law school, I worked in small business, and I happened to help two different franchisees start and grow their own franchises. So that got me thinking about the whole franchise space, and I started researching it and realizing that there weren't that many attorneys focused on the area. I was curious as to why, and then I found out there were actually more than I thought, but they're just not marketing themselves that way. But in its core, what I really love about franchising is this whole idea that regardless, if you want to turn your business into a franchise or if you want to buy a franchise, if you as a business operator, as an owner, run your business with franchise-like systems, or like Michael Gerber likes to say in the E-Myth Revisit, think of your business as though you're going to replicate it 1,000 times over. Even if you're not, you're going to be more efficient, you're going to be more profitable, you're going to have a clearer focus on what it is you're doing, and in turn, you're going to be able to add that much more value to your customers. And so I just love the whole concept of it, and that's how I got into it.
I do too. I think it's really, really smart advice. And the other thing that's coming to light is that as you take your business to market, your competitor is likely going to be a franchise operation that is a business in a box, that, you know, that is something that's been well organized and well thought out. So you better at least be have something on the ball as far as being organized and looking like you put some effort into this. And so, you know, it's a tremendous idea and a great opportunity for business owners to compete in a very crowded marketplace. So go ahead.
I was just going to respond to that and just say, yeah, I mean, what it is really franchising runs across our entire economy. I mean, to the average person who when they think about franchise, you know, they think McDonald's and Subway, and they think about food entities. But the reality is franchising runs across our entire economy. So you're absolutely correct that when you go and start your own business, there likely is going to be a franchise competitor. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go start your own business. But the point is, you know, you really need to make sure that you're on top of your business game, because there are other businesses out there that are constantly and consistently working on their systems and their processes. And if you're not, it's going to inevitably hurt your business.
Yeah, it's going to show up sooner or later. So where do people tend to go wrong when they get into franchising?
Well, do you want to know from the franchisee perspective or from the perspective of when they turn their business into a franchise? Because they're two different areas.
Why don't we address both of those points? Because I think they'd both be interesting to our listeners.
Okay, sure. Well, I'll start with the franchisee. So what happens is, you know, when people have that bug, that voice inside of them that says, gosh, I really want to go try my own thing. I want to go start my own business. You know, there's a lot of people in corporate America that want to do that. Maybe they've been working for the same company for a number of years. They have some retirement saved up, and they've always had that itch to go do their own thing. They oftentimes will look at franchising, and they'll say, gee, I want to go buy a franchise. Well, where people go wrong is that they don't follow a process in terms of how they're going to weigh the options. There are so many options out there, and I find that a lot of people go wrong by going to the internet as their starting place and their finishing place. I understand that it's a great place to go onto online and look at all the franchise opportunities, but there is so much information out there, a lot of which is bad information, and it can get people off course. So I think people make a big mistake by not having a clear understanding of what franchising is all about. I think people fall in love with brands, but they don't understand the underlying business model. And if you're going to buy a franchise and be a good operator, you have to understand the underlying business model. I think people don't take as much time and consideration and into factoring in their territories, because as much as you are buying a system and you're buying a brand and you're buying the expertise of somebody else who has come before you, your location, your backyard, your geographic location is so important for your business. Because even we were talking about how small businesses who are not franchised compete against franchises. Well, franchises are competing against them as well. And it's just a very competitive market out there, and your location is very, very important. I think another thing that franchisees don't do is they don't go about making sure that they fully understand what they're getting themselves into. The average franchise agreement is about 10 years in duration. So if you were to go and start your own business and things didn't work out, you could close the doors and move on. It's a very different scenario when you're buying a franchise, because you're locked into a system for 10 years. Now, on the flip side of that, if you are an entrepreneur and you've had some success, typically what happens, Bill, is that entrepreneurs who have had success start getting phone calls, and the phone calls go something like this. Oh, hey, Bill, you have this great business. I see. Are you offering that in Atlanta? Are you offering that in Tennessee? Are you franchising? And so people are approaching the successful entrepreneur and bringing up franchising to them. It's very rare that the entrepreneur is thinking about franchising ahead of time. So what happens is the entrepreneur's mind starts going to work, and they start going, ooh, that sounds like a good idea. But they don't really know that much about franchising. And so they rush into the process. You know, maybe they go online and maybe they start searching for, let me learn about this whole franchise process and what's a franchise disclosure document. And they start whipping together documents and trying to put everything in place, but they don't take the time to make sure that they have their own core business mm-hmm. in place and wrapped around. So they don't take the time. So oftentimes entrepreneurs who have success, they have a core business that they're successful with. And as we all know, the best franchises have simple, repeatable, and profitable models. Well, sometimes entrepreneurs, their process isn't as simplified as it needs to be. All that great information that's in their head that has helped them create the business and gotten it to where it's gone, they don't have down on paper. They don't have in a manual. And when you don't have that, it is very, very difficult to grow and repeat that process. And it's also a challenge for the entrepreneur to take the time to do that because they just want to go, 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 go. And so I have seen many entrepreneurs stumble when they try to get into franchising too quickly. I mean, it is a process. I would say the average to turn your business into a franchise is going to be anywhere from 6 to 9 months and sometimes longer. And a lot of that process is really going through your business and identifying what are the core elements of it and getting rid, trimming the fat, and making sure that when you go to market with that business, when you go to sell it to somebody else who's going to buy into it, that you have all of those I's dotted and T's crossed.
So again, if listeners are thinking, okay, well, this applies to me whether I franchise or not, I should be focusing on my business, and in 6 to 9 months, maybe I could have that book, the book about my business with the processes and systems, but it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there, and I've got to run my business at the same time. So that's a good timeline for our listeners to know about, is that it's going to be taking some time to build those processes and systems. Now, are there businesses that it just doesn't make sense to try to franchise, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, and some of that comes down to timing. I think sometimes, you know, I've been approached in the past by restaurants that have had success, and, you know, they have one location and they've done well and they want to explore franchising. And my advice was, don't do it right now. Open up a second location. So sometimes it's not a matter of the concept that's not franchisable, but it's a matter of, well, it's just not the right timing, because this is another thing that entrepreneurs a lot of times don't think about. And that is, when you franchise your business, your role as the entrepreneur fundamentally changes. You now go from the person who's overseeing that one business to you're now overseeing a brand. Just like when you go from operating one restaurant to now operating two restaurants, you now see what it's like where you can't be in two places at one time. So how are you effectively going to manage and operate that? So with a business that obviously is franchisable, restaurants, I always recommend that you at least have at least two locations open and successfully running before you go down the franchise path. Because the reality is, if it's going to be a good franchise, it's going to be a good franchise a few years later, and you're going to be all the better for having opened that second restaurant, and you're going to have worked out a lot of the kinks along the way. In terms of other businesses, I mean, there absolutely are business models where franchising is not the best method. I mean, sometimes looking at a licensing structure that's not a true franchise is a better way. I mean, sometimes it just all depends on the business, right? I mean, there's times where people have approached me and said, hey, I really want to franchise this business, and I'll dig into it and I'll go, you know what, I don't think that franchising is the right thing for you. It might be better if you just license a training system. You know, maybe it's a type of business where mm-hmm. you're dog walking, you know, you're a dog sitter, you're dog walking. And I've had people contact me where they say, yeah, other people are interested in this. And it's like, well, do you want to go through the process of franchising it? Or what about if you just took everything that you're doing and you put that into a license model where you can effectively license the training system that you're doing? You're licensing what you do every single day, and people will pay a fee for it so that they can learn, because they're going to open up a similar business. And so you can benefit from that. So, I mean, it really all depends on the type of business. But at the end of the day, I think a good thing to vet against is your business simple enough, and will it work in multiple locations, and will there be a profit stream? Because the vast majority of franchisees have never owned a business before. So you have to have it broken down such that it's simple enough and it can be understood via an operations manual, so that after you go through the training process, the franchisees can be up and going.
That's great. Great advice. I mean, I love these interviews with you because a lot of people that are entrepreneurial just need to pump the brakes a couple times and think about this because, you know, there are books out there that say you need to take your service business, of course, a lot of businesses are service business, and productize that and turn part of your service business into a product business, and then maybe you have a hope at franchising it. But I was truly amazed at the West Coast Franchise Expo, walking around seeing the number and variety of franchise operations that are available to the consumer today.
Isn't it incredible, some of the things? I mean, I remember, you know, you see places like the last one I was at, I remember seeing a cool place called, I don't know if they're still around or what they're doing, but it was like French Fry Heaven or something. And it was just all different kinds of French fries. And that was the entire business. You know, you talk about interesting niche businesses. I mean, going, you know, taking the restaurant level and just breaking it down. It's like, all we sell are French fries. I mean, it's just cool concepts like that that always intrigue me.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of food. There was a lot of flavored popcorn kind of stands and things like that that you roll around in the park or to events where you go to the consumer. But, you know, emerging out of that are a lot of different types of products, like, for instance, within the legal profession, there's a franchise that just licenses breathalyzer machines in bars and things like that, and then builds a business out of that. So it really is like the legal Zoom concept where somebody said, well, out of our law practice, what can we do efficiently, quickly, and stamp these out so we now cast a wide, shallow net for our consumers, instead of just being a multidiscipline law practice in our county or in our area. And so it's a different mindset for a lot of people to turn the corner. And that's where your book comes in. You have a book called What to Know Before You Buy a Franchise, correct?
Yeah. It's a book. It's on Amazon, and it'll walk you through the entire process. And it really starts from the very beginning, which is something that most people skip over, and that is most people just say, oh, I'm going to go buy a business, but they don't stop and say, should I buy a business, and what kind of business should I buy? I am a firm believer that there are a lot of people who should not buy a franchise, and there are a lot of people who should just go start their own thing, and there are a lot of people who should not do either, because it takes certain skill set to do all of those things. But we get excited about opportunities, and we skip over that very elementary step of, is this right for me? Do I have the skill set to do this? I mean, we know that as a franchisee, you're across the board, as a generalization, you need to be a good operator and a good manager. Well, some people have that ability and other people don't. And, you know, as a franchise owner, you need to be able to buy into somebody else's system and not always be trying to change it. And so if you're that type of person where every job you go to, you feel like you have a better system, where you feel like you want to do it differently, where you want to make changes, well, I mean, franchising may just not be right for you, and that's okay. It's better to find out before you sink your money into it as opposed to after.
We're running out of time. How do our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can email me, josh@indyfranchiselaw.com. They can also call me if they'd like, area code 317-688-9111.
Well, it's just a wealth of information. I encourage people to look up your podcast, Franchise Euphoria, on iTunes, and stay in touch. Let's get deeper into another interview next time we talk about the problems facing these 900,000 franchise owners out there. Josh, thanks very much for your time today. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you, and I look forward to it.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up for the day. Thanks for joining us, and we hope we'll catch you again soon on Exit Coach Radio. Remember to visit our network, exitcoachradio.com. You'll find the Exit Coach Network and our variety of hosts that have shows on all kinds of topics to benefit you, the age 50-plus business owner, so that you can be well-planned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.